Welcome to the December 2014 installment of Industrial Heating Magazine's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute with Bill Jones, CEO of the Solar Atmospheres family of companies, and host Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing. Solar Manufacturing is an innovative leader in vacuum heat treat furnaces. This month's podcast is part three on the importance and benefits of preventive maintenance of vacuum furnaces to keep them operating at peak capacity. Joining Bill and Jim in this series on preventive maintenance is Nick Cordisco, electrical engineer and service manager of Solar Manufacturing. So let's join the discussion.
If you have listened to our last two podcasts, we have been discussing the many aspects of preventive maintenance of vacuum heat treat furnaces. In our last podcast, Nick talked at length about key practical procedures to keep the rough vacuum pumping system up and running. Today, our topic will be the high vacuum pumping system, specifically the diffusion pump. Gentlemen, welcome back to part three on vacuum furnace preventive maintenance. Bill, a diffusion pump has no moving parts, so it would seem like the maintenance is just a matter of checking the oil level. With your many years of experience as a vacuum heat treater, what can you advise our listeners about how to properly maintain a diffusion pump?
Thank you, Jim, and you are quite right. The diffusion pump is a very misunderstood vacuum pump. It can only be operated in the relatively high vacuum range, that is, at pressures that are generally under 100 microns. If you attempt to run the high vacuum diffusion pump at higher pressures, you can damage the oil in the pump, possibly strip the oil out of the pump, or just cause a lot of issues that are not good at all. So before valving in the high vacuum diffusion pump, you always want to make sure that the pressure in the vacuum furnace chamber is at certainly below 100 microns, and generally we like to valve in the diffusion pump somewhere around 50 microns, which is a good place to have the pump start and then continue to pump the furnace down. The pump is technically a molecular pump. There's no moving parts in the pump. The theory of the pump operation is it has oil in the bottom of the pump, which is boiling and goes up through the jet assembly at sonic speeds and then is deflected downward. And that's where it traps the gas that is pumping, pushing it down to the foreline of the diffusion pump, and then it's pumped out by the roughing pump system. It's very important with the diffusion pump that the water flow connections to the pump be proper. If there's any questions about that, refer to the vacuum pump manufacturer's recommendations as to the inlet and outlet. The other issues with the diffusion pump has to do primarily with the heating elements. There's a bank of heating elements generally in the bottom of the pump. These heating elements must be tightly bolted onto the bottom of the pump, and the electrical connections must be tight. The pump is generally wired in a three-phase delta arrangement and then is connected on through into electrical contactors to turn it on. When the diffusion pump is not in the high vacuum mode, we recommend dropping the diffusion pump down to half power. First of all, it saves a lot of electricity. However, probably more important is it dramatically improves the life of the diffusion pump heaters. Diffusion pump heaters which are idled when the diffusion pump is not running in high vacuum can have a life of at least 5 years. And that's a significant improvement over across the line full power operation. It's important that the oil levels be correct in the diffusion pump. Normally the diffusion pump oil is rather insensitive and you don't have to check it too often. But if there is a misoperation, then of course it's possible to strip oil out of the pump. We also recommend using the type DC702 or type 704, which are silicon oils, as opposed to the hydrocarbon oils today. The reason for this is that they will pump to a somewhat lower vacuum, but more importantly, they will stay cleaner and they have less propensity to have a potential explosion, which these explosions in a diffusion pump are a subject all to themselves. But a diffusion pump explosion is very unpleasant. Normally, it will not rupture the vessel or the diffusion pump itself, but it can do a lot of damage to the hot zone. With respect to the oil in the diffusion pump, the most important thing is that if you do decide to change the oil, and we recommend changing the oil as a minimum every year and possibly every 6 months, depending on your type of operation, but the pump must be fully cold before you open the drain plugs or fill plugs. So you turn the power off to the pump, you put a fan on the bottom of the pump, and you don't touch the pump for at least 2 hours to make sure that it is absolutely cold. Then the oil can be drained from the pump, and the best procedure is to not rely on the diffusion pump oil sight glass, but to actually charge the pump with the recommended capacity for the pump, whether it be a gallon or whatever. You put the specified amount into a known volume and you pour that into the pump so that you know that the pump volume is correct. The diffusion pump can become contaminated and dirty, and our recommended practice is to pull the pump down annually and then to remove the jet assembly from the pump, thoroughly cleaning all the ports in the jet assembly, because over continuous operation, these ports or holes in the jet assembly where the oil sprays out will clog, and eventually the pump will stop pumping if you do not clean up the pump assembly. Many people make the mistake of taking the pump down and looking down into the pump assembly, and everything appears to be clean. But that's not where the action is. The action is down in the jet assembly, and you must pull the jet assembly apart and clean it. One of the other things with these diffusion pumps, they also have a four-line baffle. This four-line baffle occasionally, through various misvalve operations or other possibilities, this baffle can become pushed down into the throat of the four-line of the diffusion pump and will actually stop it from pumping, almost like closing a valve. So when you take the jet assembly apart, you also disassembly the four-line baffle and make sure that it is clean and properly installed.
Well, thanks for listening, and I hope you have found this podcast on preventive maintenance helpful. In February, we will continue with our topic of preventive maintenance of vacuum furnaces with an interesting discussion on the hot zone power supplies by Bill Jones.
These podcasts are underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, innovative leaders in the design of advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. You can find us on the web at solarmfg.com. Our website contains informative articles about vacuum furnaces and vacuum heat treating. In particular, I want to highlight an article entitled Critical Areas in Vacuum Furnace Preventive Maintenance by Riel Fredette and William R. Jones, available for download. Also, we highly recommend Dan Herring's book entitled Vacuum Heat Treatment, available through Industrial Heating Magazine. Thank you for listening, and look for our next podcast on preventive maintenance, Part 4, in February 2015.